let the church say amen. Amen. We certainly give honor to the Almighty God and to this anointed pastor, powerful leader, in the person of Dr. Jackson. Let's thank God for him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My Olive Church, amen. To the leading lady of this wonderful church, let's praise God for her, amen. Hallelujah. To all the preachers of the gospel, amen. To all of God's children, we say grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me pause parenthetically and express my gratitude and thanks to Pastor Jackson for how he has been a tremendous blessing down through the years. I thank God for his light that shines in the midst of darkness of our culture. I thank you so much for your excellence in ministry. And tonight I celebrate a double thanks. For many years, I've been an admirer, amen, of Pastor James Coleman for many, many years. Amen. I remember the years and days of sitting way up there in the balcony when I came to his homegoing. He would preach our revival for us at Thessalonica Church. Amen. And he was a great soul that went home with the Lord. And then the Lord passed on the mantle to this great preacher. Amen. Amen. And I was so equally satisfied when the Lord called him, because this preacher is for a preacher for this day and age. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's praise God for Pastor Greg Jackson one more time. We appreciate you, Pastor. Then, of course, amen, I want to say thank you to the St. Luke Church. Please stand wherever you are. God bless you. Pastor Jackson, and I'm just a few days away from celebrating 20 years of pastoring the St. Luke Church. Hallelujah. So glad to see also a few of the students from Drew. Amen. Robin, please stand, and another student here tonight. God bless you. Past student from Drew. Robin, stand. God bless you. Amen. Now, amen, I want to call your attention to a very interesting passage of scripture that is utilized during this Lenten season. One of my favorite scriptures. Go with me now to Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Verse 17, one verse. It's a verse of scripture found in a pericope that you're certainly familiar with. One verse of scripture I want to hold to the light on this as we kick off this Lenten season. During the Lenten season, it's a time that we go in to go up. It's a time that we do what we call self-examination. Luke 15 and 17. When you found that one verse of scripture signified by saying amen. Amen, you'll find these words in the Holy Writ in the New King James Holy Bible. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? On this first day of the Lenten season, a time of repentance, I want to talk about from the subject how to get back on the right track. How to get back on the right track. Let us pray. Lord of hosts, God of heaven and earth, that dwelleth between the cherubims, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, O God, for this wonderful season, a time of self-examination, a time that we go in and examine ourselves. God, we cannot do it without you. We thank you for the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Help us to look in. I pray, dear God, that you help us tonight as we find our way back on the right track. There are some, hallelujah, tonight who have drifted off the right track. Forgive us for our negligence. when we didn't study when we should have studied. Help us, oh God, that when we didn't confess our sins. So tonight we come clean. We are sorry. We're sorry. Forgive us for all of our sins. Have your way tonight in this house. I pray, dear, tonight, dear God, that this season of Lent will not be perfunctory. That, oh God, will take, oh God, a genuine look in our own hearts and make a difference in this world. Thank you for Pastor Jackson. Thank you for the Mount Olive Church. Bless this house tonight. I pray, dear God, that you bless the vision of this house as well as our own. Because we recognize, dear God, that with you, all things are possible. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, just in case, if there's somebody here tonight under the sound of my voice who has never claimed Christ as a Savior and Lord of their life, I pray that your preached word will inspire them to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. I pray that the people of faith tonight will see less of me, but more of thee. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say, amen. How to get back on the right track. Pastor Jackson, I have discovered that one of the dangers of preaching from a familiar text is that oftentimes that we often bring to the text what I call preconceived ideas about the text. And so tonight I'm going to ask that you would lay aside your preconceived ideas and allow the Holy Spirit to blow some fresh wind on this word tonight. Now, oftentimes when we talk about the prodigal son, we often hear preachers preaching about the younger son. But tonight, I want to argue tonight against the grain and suggest that this text is not about the younger son. But this text is really about the older son. We learn about the mistakes of what not to do in life about the older son. We learn how to get back on the right track through the younger son. And so tonight, I want to ask and first of all suggest that what do we glean in regards to this older son? First of all, I discovered that this older son had what I call a snobbish attitude. Let me park it there for a minute. Pastor Jackson, in my 28 years of pastoring, I've learned that there are many churches that do not grow. All because you have officers and key leaders in high positions who have a nasty attitude. You can have a powerful preacher in the pulpit. I don't mean no harm to those who are serving us tonight, but to have a nasty usher at the door. Sit over there, sit over there. You got to be very careful who you allow to occupy office as leaders in our churches. And there are many of us, watch this, who are not promoted all because of our attitude. And I've learned that our attitude will determine your altitude. This older son, somebody say the older son. This older son, in my opinion, had... amen, a snobbish attitude. Listen to him. In verse 30 of this pericope, he says, yo, son. He says, yo, son. That's his brother. But yet he says, yo, son. And be very careful, amen, how you treat other folk. Because I've learned that what goes around comes around. Be careful what you put out in life. If you put out love, love will come back to you. Snobbish attitude. And by the way, while I'm on the subject of snobbish attitude, nobody here has a right to look down on anybody. Yesterday, we had to fill out our notes of penitence. And of course, I've asked the folk of St. Luke to please don't put their names on their notes of penitence, on their sins. But truth be told, we all got some stuff. Let me try on this side. I said, truth be told, we all got some stuff. If you claim that you are saved, you are ex-something. Ex-liar. Ex-gambler. I'm glad tonight, Pastor, the text does not say some have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. I'm glad it did not say y'all have sinned. But everybody from the White House to the poor house, we all need God. And so the next time somebody brings up your stuff, somebody say your stuff. When they bring up your Johnny Walker, your cognac, your Courvoisier, when I get to your brand, wink at me, amen, hallelujah. When they bring up your stuff, don't go to denying. Don't go to fighting. No. You said all, you just tell them, yes, that's all true. But here's what you tell them. You say, it's under the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Now, can we talk? Now, truth be told, that when we give our testimony, we get what I call the abbreviated version. There are some folk who think they know you. But there are some stuff you couldn't tell them. Because if they knew the real deal, it'd blow their mind. But thank God that tonight, you're here tonight by the blood of Jesus. So nobody here has the right to look down on anybody in the condescending way with a snobbish attitude. This older son had a snobbish attitude. And by the way, be careful, brothers and sisters, because there's some folk on our jobs. There's some folk in our neighborhoods who ain't gonna read no Bible. But the only Bible they're going to read is your life. And the question is, what are they reading? Hallelujah. This older son, he had a snobbish attitude. But then secondly, we learn another lesson about the older son. Not only did he have a snobbish attitude, he had a nasty mind. I said he had a nasty mind. Don't look down now. Look at me. Don't run now. He had a nasty mind. Verse 30 tells us, watch this. He says, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattest calf for him. Pastor Jackson, I did my research. Discovered that, watch this, you read the entire pericope, you'll discover that nowhere in the text, nowhere does it say that the younger son ever had any engagements or dealings with a harlot. Nowhere does it say that he had any connection with a harlot. But yet the older son said he has been out there with a harlot. Now the reason why he said that, because that was on his mind. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And while I'm on the subject, hallelujah, don't become so judgmental of that sister who comes in the church with a tight dress on. Thank God she's here. You just mad because you can't fit one no more. Hallelujah. Tell somebody it's tight, but it's right. So we learn about the mistakes of not to make during this Lenten season. Number one, the older son, he had a snobbish attitude. Number two, he had a nasty mind. But then thirdly, watch this. The older son, he was living in his father's house, but was still alienated from the fellowship. Rewind. He was living in his father's house, but yet he was alienated from the fellowship. You know, it's a terrible thing to be in church, but yet miss church. Let's try it again. And first of all, truth be told, church didn't start here tonight. I don't know about you, but church started early this morning. When I got up this morning, I said, good morning, Lord. God, I thank you for another day. God, I praise you for a new day. How many of y'all remember in your BC days? Somebody say BC. Before Christ. In our BC days, we got ready before the party. Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Look at me. You had a few before you got to the party. Somebody shout flashback. I mean, you were getting your step ready. When you got to the party, look at here, you were in the ninth gear. Church didn't start here. Hey, I was fired up before I got here. I couldn't wait to get here to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. This older son, Pastor Jackson, he was living in his father's house, but yet he was alienated from the fellowship. Don't pass church on the way to church. Don't go to hell by the church. And by the way, I don't mean no harm, but why? Just because you come to church don't mean you are saved. Just because I stand in the garage don't make me a car. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Pastor, watch me now. We got somebody, I'm embarrassed to say this, that sometimes we have some key officers, watch this, who are here, but they're not here. There's some folks can look right at you and watch this and tune you out. I'm looking at a few folk right now and say amen since I've been up here. And they'll get outside and say amen. I don't know what's wrong with the preacher. And yet they came in here, DOA, dead on arrival. This text really, really is not about the younger son. It's about the older son. But yet we learn about the mistakes during this Lenten season of what not to make. This older son had a snobbish attitude. This older son had a nasty mind. This older son, he was living in his father's house, but yet he was alienated from the fellowship. But then we learn not only about the mistakes by the older son, we learn about ministry, of how to get back on the right track through the younger son. Here it is. The younger son, when he was out there doing his thing. The Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. If you want to get right back on this first day of Lent, you want to get right back on the right track. Here it is. Recognize your true condition. Say, recognize your true condition. Let's try it again. Say, recognize your true condition. You see, a lot of folk cannot get back on the right track. Why? Because they're in denial. And denial is not a river. Somebody say amen. Now, can we talk? See, I've learned it's so important to learn to face the facts. And see, the Bible says, and he came to himself. If you got a loved one who's out there in the world right now, who's out there far in the far country, who went too far and stayed too long and can't get back, pray that God will help them recognize their true condition. The moment you recognize that you need God, the moment you recognize, hallelujah, that you cannot make it without Christ in your life, watch God bless your life in a mighty way. Recognize your true condition. And truth be told, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that Jesus came into my life. And we are all a work in progress. But however, watch this, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. If you only knew of the mess I come through, it would shock you. I thank God for the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. And so, Deacon Stone, I was at a service on Sunday night in Brooklyn, and Reverend Shane had to check with me and even Christy because they saw me in the pulpit. And I had my glasses on. They never seen me with glasses. So I embraced the reality. I need glasses. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, here's my problem, Pastor Jackson. Here's my axe to grind with the Pentecostal folk. You know, they try to say, oh, they don't want nobody wearing makeup and... The devil is a liar. Thank God for makeup. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God for some rouge, a good wig, a good weed, baby. Hey. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It works miracles. Hey. The truth. Now you're going to wear a weave. Now, wear a good one, baby. Make sure the tracks ain't showing now. Go get a wig. Fix it on. Fix it up right now. Fix it. Make sure it ain't slanted. It's cheaper anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody. Hey, look here. You want to get back on the right track? Recognize your true condition. I don't mean no harm, but somebody here tonight, Boo ain't coming back, baby. He gone. He ain't thinking about you. He gone. He got somebody else. Boo gone. Move on with your life. How do we get back on the right track? Somebody say, recognize your true condition. text says, and he came to himself. Secondly, I'm almost done. Watch this. I want to get back on the right track. Watch this. You got to repent. There it is. Repent from your alienation. Say, repent from your alienation. Watch this. He got up from where he was and left from where he was and connected back to the fellowship of his father's house. You can't stay where you are. I like the way my good friend Reverend Al Shutt put it. He said, if you knock me down, amen, and I fall down, if I stay down, that's on me. Hallelujah. If I hit you, that's on me. But if I come back 7 days, you still there, that's on you. You got to get up from where you are. You got to repent. And what you cannot have revival unless you repent. Revival cannot transpire unless you repent. Now, repent means a godly sorrow for one of your sins. Hear what the text says in Proverbs 28 and 13. The Bible says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsake the Lord shall have mercy. Hope you're ready for this. All of us in here have been guilty of going back to our old stuff. Something you told God, say, Lord, if you just get me out of this mess, I won't do it no more. God, if you get me away from this Negro, I promise you, I'll leave alone. Hear what the Bible said. The Bible says the dog has returned to his own vomit. All of us in here have been guilty of going back to our old vomit. But watch this. And be careful of being judgmental of somebody who may slip back. Because truth be told, all of us in here are not too far removed. Don't be a moral cop. Because somebody slipped and messed up. Hear what the text says in Galatians 6 and 1. It says, brethren, talking to the saints, the Christians, if a person be overtaken in the fault, watch me now, you who are spiritual, you who are saved, restore such one in meekness, watch this, lest yourself be tempted. And so every day, thank God that God keeps you. His grace keeps you. It wasn't your anointing. It wasn't your strength. It was God's grace that kept you. And if you want to make it back on the right track, you got to repent from your alienation. You know the places you used to go. You can't go there no more. That there's some places, some people that you see, they need to be in the balcony of your life. If you see them in the mall, you need to get back in that car and run for your life. The Bible said, flee. You want to get back on the right track. Somebody say, recognize your true condition. Somebody say, repent from your alienation. Here's my come home note, Pastor Jackson. This is it. You want to get back on the right track? You got to recognize your true condition. It's a young son. You got to repent from your alienation. Thirdly, and I'm done, here it is. Somebody say, receive restoration joyfully. Let's try it again. Say, receive restoration joyfully. Say, receive restoration joyfully. Whenever you see God blessing somebody else, you ought to join in on the celebration. Come on here. Look up. Look up here. I'm concerned about folk who have not learned to praise God for other folks' blessings. The anointing you despise, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. You see, watch this. You see, when the younger son came home, the older son started hating on him. What he should have did was he should have joined in the party. Now, here's what I learned, Pastor Jackson. There's a reason why a lot of folk don't join in the party. Because sometimes our success becomes an indictment on their failures. But just in case, if you got some folk who won't praise God with you, you know what you do? If you got to go to McDonald's, get you a Happy Meal and throw your own party, baby. Thank God, praise God on your own. Throw your own party. Give God the praise for yourself. You know, Pastor Jackson, I commend Beyonce. They went to hating on her on the inauguration, talking about she was lip syncing. You know, she came back and shut the Super Bowl down. Hallelujah. She said, "How you like me now?" Hallelujah. Caused a blackout, baby. You know she got it going on. Receive restoration joyfully. Now, every now and then, I've learned in every church, sometimes you got to check the pews. Because sometimes you got some pew haters. Because, Pastor, when we ain't looking, you got some folk who give folk a look and say, "It don't take all of that. It don't take all of that." You know what? Next time somebody give you a look, they don't know the hell you've been through. You tell them like Beyonce, "You must not know about me." To the left, to the left. You give God the praise for all that God has been to you. Celebrate the goodness of Jesus. Give God the praise. Throw your own party. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I got to praise him. I thank God for Jesus. My Rose of Sharon. My Lily of the Valley. My Hope of Glory. Mary's baby. Joseph's stepson. I thank God for Jesus. He picked me up, turned me around, planted my feet on solid ground. I thank God for Jesus. Join the celebration.